You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
Welcome to the Roto Experts Saturday edition on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm your host, Mike Blewett, along my trusty cohort, George Kurtz. We're going to be taking you around the world of the NFL and the fantasy football landscape for the next 2 hours. Obviously, here we are in week 15. All of your matchups are extremely important, and we're going to get to it. Not that they aren't the other previous 14 weeks, George, but we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. There's going to be, I'm sure, plenty of start-sit questions, and it really starts off with the major story of Aaron Rodgers returning to the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, it does, right? We found that news Tuesday night that Rodgers has been had been cleared. You know, he still hasn't been taken off the IR. So technically, we're still waiting for that. They could do that until 4 o'clock today. They will do it. They just need to make a corresponding move. I guess they're taking as much time as possible to make that move to see who goes. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers will start tomorrow. And I got to tell you, Mike, I'm starting him over, I think, 29 other quarterbacks. Only three quarterbacks I have ranked ahead of Rodgers this week.
And who are those three quarterbacks that you have ranked in front?
One's your guy. I have Big Ben ranked ahead of him at home against the Patriots. And the Patriots don't look very good. Hard not to rank a guy who just threw for 500 yards. Ahead of him, so I've got him. I don't have Brady ranked ahead. You know, I've pretty much that's a coin flip there. That and Philip Rivers as well. I think is another coin flip there. I have Drew Brees ranked ahead. You know, going up against the Jets. Jets are it's really because Bryce Petty's a quarterback. I think the Saints are going to have the ball a ton tomorrow.
Yes,
and I think they sort of whoop up the score there. And I'm trying to remember who else I have ahead there. Stafford's in the same coin flip phase.
Cam Newton, Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson. That's who it is. Yeah. It's hard not to. I mean, Russell Wilson's been just absolutely great.
I had a lot of questions this week. It was very odd because it was the same question, the same exact question, probably a half a dozen times from people, and it was Dak Prescott versus Aaron Rodgers. So somewhere along the line, people were able to obtain Dak Prescott. Maybe when he went through that lull after the Elliott suspension took hold. Some people might have released him because Dak was obviously a guy that was very valuable earlier in the season. In fact, in one of my leagues, I was able to pick up Dak because somebody had released him. So I saw that question a lot. Our numbers have Rodgers over Dak. George's rankings have Rodgers over Dak. So is it close? Yes. Do I understand your hesitance to starting a guy like coming off of an 8-week injury? Absolutely. But if he wasn't named Aaron Rodgers, it's a different discussion altogether. Going up against a Carolina defense that is susceptible to getting beat on the outside. Hello, Jordy Nelson owners. So, George, there we are. Aaron Rodgers is the big story. We got kicked off on Thursday night. We'll get into that a little bit more after the break. But, you know, unfortunately, that Thursday night game was the Thursday night game that we've all been dreading because not a lot of intrigue in that game, even if you're a C.J. Anderson owner. There wasn't too much beyond him.
No, there was not. Not the greatest game to watch on the planet.
Yeah, so we'll come back. We'll talk Jacoby Brissett. We'll talk Trevor Siemian. We'll talk Brock Osweiler to kick off the show. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts. Join us after this.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Kicking it off, rocking on a Saturday morning. It's Mike and George. on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy to be back. Happy to be healthier than I've been in a while, George. I missed both shows last weekend. One was sort of pre-planned, but simultaneously, I ended up getting really sick. And I had to miss the Sunday show. I was in bed for days. And I will say unequivocally, when I was 9 years old, I had this respiratory infection and I had to go into the hospital for a few days. It's the sickest I've been since then, since I was 9 years old. That is a long, long time. 35 years ago, I haven't been that sick. And here I am. By the grace of God, I suppose, I am here and talking fantasy football again. But, man, it was brutal. What a rough few days. And I know you usually get out the violins and all this kind of stuff, but, man, I was legitimately on my butt for a few days.
Well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is better you than me.
Yes, that is true. I would not wish that upon my worst enemy, what I had.
I think we've all gone through periods like that when we're not feeling very well, to put it nicely. I don't, even for two kids, my kids don't get sick all that much, which means I don't get sick all that much. So I've certainly.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, and I probably shouldn't air my family dirty laundry, but what happened was somebody brought a sick child to Thanksgiving dinner.
I think you've already aired that before, by the way.
Well, I'm airing it again because now I got really sick. And it got my son sick, who got my daughter sick, who got me sick. And for whatever reason, this is normally something that happens in kids. It's called hand, foot, mouth. You guys, people out there may know it. And trust me, we'll get to football in a minute. But it was something that normally like runs its course in kids in a few days. And my son's had it before, and I didn't get it. So I actually didn't think I was susceptible to getting it. I guess I was just a little run down, and my daughter just crushed me. So I was out on my feet, just couldn't eat for days. I didn't eat for a week. No joke. That's not a joke. I did not eat from Friday to Thursday. I could not swallow anything. I couldn't eat anything. Fevers, the whole thing. So here I am.
Sharing is caring.
Yeah, it was really unbelievable. So, yeah, I'll air that. Here's my PSA, and then I'll talk about how great Brock Osweiler is. If you have a sick child.
I think I'd rather hear the PSA.
Yeah. if you have a sick child, and I know this now as a parent more than I ever did before, or you happen to be sick, and there's kids that are going to be at a certain party, you have to give a parent the heads up. That's it. That's the rule. There's no other rules. You got to give the other people that are going to be at the party the heads up that there might be something relatively serious going on. I'm not talking runny noses. I have a 5-year-old and 2-year-old. They have a runny nose every day of their lives. Doesn't mean they're always contagious. But if it's a little bit more serious than that, or it is something actually serious, you got to give the parents a heads up. You don't just show up at the party and infect the whole house and then go on your merry way. That's my PSA for today. Is that fair, George?
I actually would probably go a little further than that. You know when your child's sick, where you shouldn't come out. Yeah, especially around other children. Yes. All right, because we all know this. I mean, what's the biggest fear as a parent? You know, one kid in school is sick, everybody's sick.
No doubt.
You know, so like I said, I never talk about runny nose. I think you put it perfectly. They always have those. You know, I want a little cough. That doesn't bother me. But you know, the kid's got a virus or is sick. I mean, come on, it's just basic human decency.
Yeah.
You know, because as much as I like to bust your chops about what you went through, Lord knows I don't want to go through it. When I say better you than me, I seriously mean that.
Yeah. I you should mean that. It was the worst. Honestly, I'm not joking when I say it's the sickest I've been in my whole life. So, in any event, there's our PSA. If your kid's really sick, give everybody a heads up or just stay home. That's it. So now let's talk. If you want to reach out to us today and talk about horrible illnesses or Brock Osweiler or Aaron Rodgers or anything else, you can do that a bunch of different ways. We'll take calls today a little bit later in the hour, 844-843-6879. That's 84FNTSY. And on Twitter, at FNTSY Radio, I'm at Mike Blewett. George is at George Kurtz. So let's turn to the Thursday game, give you a little bit of a recap. I have to be honest, that's the best I've seen Brock Osweiler play, I don't know about ever, but he looked sharp. He obviously comes in for Trevor Siemian, who immediately goes on IR. That's got to be really serious because, I mean, second time, obviously, that Simeon's going to be staring down shoulder surgery in less than a year. Bummer for him. Osweiler obviously looked really sharp. C.J. Anderson, he has a good fantasy game, and I guess perhaps exceeded expectations, even though he doesn't get into the end zone. He touches the ball 30 times for 158 yards, George.
He did. Now, let's start from Brock Osweiler.
Yeah.
Who are they playing, Mike?
They're playing I would say this is the worst defense in the league, Indianapolis.
There Colts. You go. That's the right answer. So I think that's a big part of why Osweiler looked well.
I agree.
It doesn't matter. Nobody in their mother started Osweiler Thursday. So
yeah,
fantasy-wise, that meant absolutely nothing.
Yes.
And then Emmanuel Sanders comes in. He may even start a small percentage of leagues, and he gets hurt pretty much, before halftime. Too bad he was off to a good start, too, in that game.
I know. I had him going in a league. But, you know, 7 for 68 in a one-point PPR, I'll take that and run with it.
Yeah, so as a final line, yes, right? Because you may not have been really expecting that.
Yes.
But the fact that he got that all pretty much a quarter and a half, that's what's disappointing. Because so that could have been easily a 20-point game for Emmanuel Sanders. You know, and let's face it, as your wide receiver three or even a flex play, that would have been a nice bonus going into your semifinals.
It's a great point because as soon as the game started, they were targeting him. And I was like, yes. Like I knew I had made the right call. I benched T.Y. Hilton. And I had started Sanders. I didn't want to start both of those guys in that game. I just didn't think there was enough upside. So I played Sanders. I could tell he was getting tired. I mean, he got 9 targets, to your point, George, in limited action. So I was pumped. And then it just, obviously he's got a banged up ankle. And you have to wonder, at a 5-9 team, couple weeks to go, this guy's been hobbled by ankle issues all year. You almost think that they should consider shutting him down for future purposes.
I would agree. You know, and not only should they shut him down, if they don't, fantasy owners certainly should. You move on here. Yeah, all right, you're not going to start him again. If he plays, he may not be able to make it through a game anyway. He may not be at full strength. Maybe he can't cut correctly. So if you did start him like you did, you got what you could out of him. It is now time to move on.
Yeah, I agree. I guess the last thing I'll say on Osweiler is, look, in these two QB leagues, it's getting down towards the end. I doubt you're going to be, like, all that is a strategy move. You're not going to be starting Osweiler in week 16 in your championship games. Obviously, he came in relief, so he didn't have any impact for fantasy owners the other day. But it was just interesting to see him play as well as he did. And you know what? I actually, the guys, Tirico and Collinsworth, did a nice job the other night of stating that he kind of felt happy for him. He looked like he was having fun, like he was in a good mood, like he was really pumped to have some success out there. It's been a long time coming for him. And you just wonder, like, kind of what his future in the NFL is going to be. I think it's about what it is. It's going to be about what it is now, fighting on a team that might have a quarterback controversy or a quarterback vacuum to see what it is that he can do, to see if he can win the job.
His best case scenario will be as a backup. He's not going to start for anybody anymore, not unless, you know, circumstances go completely awry. He's not very good. We joke, but it was against the Indianapolis Colts, a terrible defense. He did look great, and he really did. And I guess, the Otis wants to have some hope here, but I honestly put this more on Indianapolis than I do on Osweiler.
Yeah, as far as the Colts are concerned, T.Y. Hilton, 5 for 41, Jack Doyle, 7 for 47, Jacoby Brissett, owners. I don't think he could have had much expectations, but 17 of 30 for 158. He did run one in to help you a little bit there, but really nothing out of the Colts. Last question. Is this the last we've seen of Frank Gore?
I'm going to say no. Everything I'm hearing is that Gore does want to come back. So I don't know if it'll be with Indianapolis. I don't think it'll be as a starter, but I think he'll end up being with another team next year as a sort of a committee, maybe a guy on the lower end of a committee.
I mean, you can't say he's underachieved, right? I mean, the team itself is terrible. So when given the opportunities, Frank Gore has been fine. You know, the same as not he's not the Frank Gore of old, but he's the same Frank Gore he's been for the last couple seasons.
Yeah, I think the bottom line is, though, he may want to come back, but I don't know if another team's going to want him to come back, and will he play at the veteran minimum?
Yeah, that is going to be the issue. Just guys usually find their way out of the league when they start getting paid a lot to be a rotational back. So we'll come back. We'll focus on the games for this week and the injuries on the Roto Experts.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
So I probably shouldn't have buried the lead, George, in stating that there are actually two games today. The lead of this week is Aaron Rodgers, so I don't feel bad about opening the show with that. We had to talk about your favorite quarterback, Brock Osweiler. But the fun part about the end of the NFL season, and this used to be kind of a cool little Easter egg at the end of the year, right? Or Christmas egg, as it were, George, where you'd have a couple of Saturday games. Like, hey, I usually have to wait around till Sunday. I mean, now it's ridiculous. We got Thursday night. We got Sunday night. We got Monday night. We got Sunday all day. We'll have Tuesday games before you know it. But this was at the end of the year. You were like, hey, I get to get the NFL a day early at the end of the year. So here we are, week 15. Chicago at Detroit at 4:30. And the Los Angeles Chargers at the Kansas City Chiefs at 8:25. So pretty exciting. We got a little Saturday football. And obviously, fantasy owners out there, set your lineups. Make sure you set your lineups. So the Jordan Howard owners, the Theo Riddick owners, Matt Stafford, Trubisky if you're in a 2QB league, God help you. Phil Rivers, Alex Smith. I mean, a lot of relevant guys here today, obviously, that are going to be playing. So we got to make sure we get people's lineups going.
Yeah, I think it could catch you off guard if you didn't realize that. Yeah, the first game's at 4:30, and that's the game that, let's face it, a little bit of a snooze fest there, Chicago, Detroit. But they're still fantasy relevant players, and I got to tell you, I'm getting a lot of questions about Jordan Howard, and I'm not afraid to tell you, Mike, Jordan Howard has been my he's been my Achilles heel this year. I've gotten him wrong probably every week. I can't get him. I start him when I should sit him. I sit him when I should start him. But the numbers tell you he has to be started today. His numbers against Detroit are over 6 yards a carry. I mean, that's hard to ignore. Had the big game last week.
Well, I mean, we're talking about good teams now that are left, right? So we're going to have these questions do get pretty tough for us and for fantasy owners because you're going to have some guys with good teams, right? The stacked running back options. And they might be a little concerned about starting somebody like Jordan Howard today, and I get it. I'm with you. I mean, I'm looking at numbers, our projections. I mean, Jordan Howard is just outside the RB1 conversation, but, you know, we're talking a regular league. He's got to be out there. It would be tough to bench him today.
Yeah, I think it would be tough. I mean, on an ordinary game, they're playing somebody without the numbers, like 6 yards per carry. I mean, my God, I don't know how I could pass this up. And you know the volume's going to be there. They're going to give him the ball a lot. It'll be indoors, so you won't have to worry about a muddy or a wet track. So Howard is in. I said he's in my starting line if I own him, and which means he'll probably suck for you today.
So that game has a 44 total, and the Lions are favored by 5. The Lions are such a weird team because, I mean, they're going to end up 8-8 this year probably, and that's about the kind of team that they are. But you start to think that they're. they're going to turn the corner, and they have a bunch of talent on that team. And then here they are. They're 7-6, and they should probably win today. But if the Bears won, would anybody be totally stunned? You know what I mean? I would be surprised, but not totally stunned, just because the Lions are who they are.
Would agree. You know, I think the Lions do win. I think everything you said is correct. They're an average team. You know, they've got some good players. Stafford's a good quarterback. He's not, great. He's not Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, or anybody like that, but he's still a good NFL quarterback. The wide receivers, Golden Tate, Marvin Jones, good. The running game, not so good. That's really been their weakness for, really, since Barry Sanders retired, which is a kind of a shame. The defense also, good, not great. Maybe even good's being a little bit too strong for them. Maybe just above average slightly. But nothing to cry home about other than Darius Slay, who's an excellent outside cornerback. Although today, let's face it, they really won't need him because Chicago has no one on the outside to throw the ball to.
Yeah. So, like, here's the Lions' wins this year. They beat the Arizona Cardinals in week one. Decent win. You know, I know the Cardinals.
That was a good win back then.
Yeah, but in week one, that was a good win. I remember I have the Arizona Cardinals over 8.5 this year. Not going to happen unless they win their last three. And I remember thinking that that was going to be a tough one for me because I needed every win I could get. They beat the Giants, which we all know what's going on there. Then they beat the Vikings. They lost to the Falcons, and they beat the Vikings in week four. Pretty good win. They beat them 14-7. Then a string of three losses. Then they beat the Aaron Rodgers-less Green Bay Packers. Then they beat the Browns, and they beat the Bears a month ago by three. Lost a couple more games, including getting blown out by the Ravens. And then they beat the Bucks last week by three. Like, there's not, except for the Vikings win, there's not one that you're like, huh, they're pretty good win. Not really. Like, maybe the Cardinals win, and we're talking as week one of the season. It's 3 months ago. So, almost 4 months ago. So, I just, when you start to look at it, you're like, have they even really beaten anybody? No, they lost to the Panthers. They got blown out by the Saints. They lost to the Steelers, which was a fairly weird, close game. Then they lost to the Vikings again, blown out by the Ravens. It's just, as you start to dive into it, you're like, yeah, this is just your prototypical 7-9, 8-8 team, and nobody's impressed.
I think it's pretty accurate. I don't think anyone can really argue with it about it. This is not almost a Stanley Cup. This is not a Super Bowl winning team. You know, this is not a team that's going to challenge for that.
They're,
I don't know if they ever really were going to challenge. No, I don't like their chances. I think it's pretty cold in Detroit. You can play some ice hockey, but yeah. No, I don't like their chances of winning the cup at all, or the Red Wings for that matter. That thing's not going well in Detroit in hockey. But football wise, I mean, you know, the NFC is strong this year. You know, Detroit, you know, that teams like Detroit, Dallas, more than likely Green Bay, that might finish 9-7, even 10-6, that aren't going to make the playoffs. It's just too strong right now. I mean, you look at it, now you're going to have four division winners, and none of those teams I mentioned are going to win with division. You know, Minnesota will win, Philadelphia will win, even New Orleans or Carolina, even St. Louis or Seattle. And then you're going to have really the two wild card spots between three teams. The St. Louis-Seattle loser from tomorrow, New Orleans or Carolina, whoever doesn't win, and more than likely Atlanta. For Green Bay or Dallas or Detroit to win, to get in, they not only have to win out, but man, they need a lot of help.
Yeah. You got Los Angeles Chargers right, but you said St. Louis, so I gotta dock you a point.
Damn,
you said St. Louis Rams. So, all right, so let's get to this game real quick. Jordan Howard, as you said, you're probably rolling him out there. You know what? Sort of oddly, Tariq Cohen has a pretty good projection for today. I know it would have to be a really deep league, but I'm just saying, as I was pouring through the numbers, pouring through some of our projections that you can find on dailyroto.com, Tariq Cohen actually has a pretty good projection. Kendall Wright, Dontrell Inman, all that kind of stuff has to be a super deep league. I know that I've seen the Adam Shaheen pick up in a lot of leagues. You're just hoping for a touchdown. That's all there is to it. Detroit, obviously, you're going to roll Matt Stafford out there, depending on your options, but he's going to be out there. Golden Tate, no doubt. Marvin Jones is probably a guy you're going to get some questions about. And Theo Riddick has obviously seen an uptick in the last few weeks, George.
Yeah, I think it's, oh man, it's just so tough to trust that Detroit running game there. I mean, I'm certainly not starting Abdullah if and when he plays. I got cute in the league and started Teon Green last week. Luckily, I still won that league. I really thought they were going to give him a bunch of the carries there over Riddick to see what they had. They did not. So I really want to stay away from the the Detroit running game altogether, Mike. I don't want to go in that direction if I can help it. I understand it will be tough, but I got a question for you.
Yeah.
My brother is playing in the semifinals in the league, and you mentioned Tariq Cohen. He has a bunch of slop at running back.
I know.
He's got guys.
So it comes down to
it. He's got DeMarco Murray, Kerwin Williams, Giovanni Bernard, Tariq Cohen, Jonathan Stewart. He can only start two, thankfully. Who would you start at? He's got Adrian Peterson, too, who's on the IR. He's got to get rid of him. I told him to pick up T.J. Yeldon, so he can actually pick up Yeldon. So maybe that becomes the play if Fournette's out tomorrow. So out of all that slot, Mike, who are you starting here?
Cohen, Murray, Williams, Yeldon, and Gio. Well, Mixon's coming back, so Gio's done. If it's a PPR league.
Half point.
Oh, man. That hurts Cohen for me. Because obviously that's all he does. God, I would hate to have DeMarco Murray this year. I really just would. I'm just glad I avoided him to save myself all the headaches. But I think he's got to be the one, right? He's got him up against the Niners. I think you got to feel okay about DeMarco Murray as one of the guys. I mean, you're not going to feel okay, but I think he's going to be one of the guys that you're going to start there, right?
Agreed.
And you're like hoping Fournette is out so that you can put Yeldon in. That's really what you're hoping.
It's ugly there. Right now he has Murray and Kerwin Williams, and I don't blame him because Kerwin Williams, he's going to start against Washington. At least the volume will be there. I don't know what damage he's going to do. I think it comes down to, I agree with you about Gio. Tariq Cohen, once again, I agree. Jonathan Stewart's more of a touchdown guy, and let's face it, I don't know if he's going to score three touchdowns for the rest of his career after what he had last.
That's the first time he ever did that, yeah.
Unbelievable. Insane. He was just trolling me. Just trolling me.
So, I would probably go Murray. He's got Murray and Williams. I can see it. In a half-point PPR, I would lean towards Williams, too, over Cohen. But if Fournette was out, you would put Yeldon in over Williams, correct?
Correct, yeah. If Fournette ends up missing at that game, which he hasn't practiced much, he may not play tomorrow.
What terrible options. But he's in the semis of a league, right? So, it takes all different
kinds. He's really strong at wide receiver. He's got Dodger Hopkins, Michael Thomas. It's a two-quarterback league. He's got Phillip Rivers and Russell Wilson. That's really what's propelled him.
Yeah. Okay, well, there you go. That says a lot. There's not a ton of huge stories. Normally we do go through some news stories. There's not any kind of crazy stories. I think the Trevor Siemian thing, injuring his left shoulder, being placed on IR, that's a bummer. But, fast forward to next summer camp when the Broncos are trying to figure out who the quarterback is, and I think there'll be another draft pick in there.
It won't
They've
be Siemian.
They drafted the most quarterbacks since 2012. They drafted five different quarterbacks since 2012. And they'll be drafting another one this spring. So we'll come back. We'll talk. Why is Mo Wilkerson not with the Jets? We'll talk about that and the injuries after this. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Rocking out Saturday morning, Mike and George on the Roto Experts. I know we're jumping around a little bit today, keeping it loose. We can talk Chargers, Chiefs in a minute, but we want to get to those injury reports, the dreaded injury reports. So the Bills are going to have Tyrod Taylor back under center. That's been a fun revolving door of Taylor and Peterman, with Peterman in concussion protocol. He couldn't play even if they wanted him to. So it's just been really
strange. That was the greatest game ever last week.
It's 7-0. They scored the touchdown late. They get the two-pointer. It gets called back. And then
a BS call, too.
Yeah, it was a terrible call. He didn't even block out on him. It was to those that didn't see it, it was like a pick play, but he didn't even crash down on the defensive back. He just kind of stood there, and in the snowy conditions, like the D-back didn't even really move, and Jack Doyle was just wide open.
It was a terrible call by the officials. Plus, it's within 5 yards before the ball's in the air.
Yes,
it really was it was a bad call. But the game, come on, the game. I don't care about who won the game. The game was fun to watch.
Yeah, it was fun.
8 inches of snow. The ball was disappearing on punches. Hit the ground and poof, gone. You know, the Colts do their best to camouflage themselves wearing all white uniforms. It was great.
Yeah. And Vinatieri hits like a money extra point. When that 2-point conversion gets pulled back, he has to hit like a really huge extra point. Well, I mean, depending on how you feel about the Colts season, he has to hit a pretty big extra point to like extend the game. And of course, he doesn't. He's the greatest kicker ever, in snow conditions, at least. So there you go. Doug McDermott. Gosh, I can't believe I did that. Sean McDermott feels good about wide receiver Kelvin Benjamin, who has been limited in practice with a knee injury, so he should go. Obviously, reservations about starting him, but I don't know what your options are. So, Leonard Fournette, that's the big question, George. What's the story with Leonard Fournette?
Yeah, that's going to be probably a game time decision. I think that's what we know what's going to happen here, and you're going to have to wait on him. But it's frustrating. I mean, it's a guy who, I don't want to say carried your team, has been banged up a couple of times this year, but it's a guy you're relying on. More than likely, your RB1, your RB2 certainly at worst, and now you don't know what you're going to get. You know, it doesn't have the greatest matchup tomorrow. Houston's actually been good against the run, bad against the pass. But still, you want him in there. And right now, if T.J. Yeldon's out there, I think you certainly want to get him to back up Fournette. You know, the little handcuff action there, just in case Fournette is made inactive. Right now, I would put his odds, Mike, probably no more than 50-50. It's a quad injury. He's listed as questionable. I think they'll try and see what he can do before the game tomorrow. I believe that's a 1 o'clock game. Almost positive it is. So it we'll is. Know around 11:30. So that's good news. It was a 4 o'clock game. That'd be a much bigger problem if you couldn't get Yeldon. But as a 1 o'clock game, we'll know around 11:30 if he's active or inactive. I think he's active, Mike. I have to play him. Even though I am concerned that, you know, he may only get a handful of touches, and, you know, I just can't go. And, you know,
I would do the same, though.
Responding.
I would do the same.
But I think I'm starting him.
He missed 3 straight practices. His reporters noted he was off to the side in a hoodie and sweats on Friday. But he also made comments, like, you know, he can only trust the players so much. He also made comments. He's like, look, this is a a maintenance scenario. Sorry, I couldn't think of the word. It's a maintenance scenario whereby he is going to try and gut it out each and every week. And I think there's a lot of guys in the league that are like this right now. You know, they're banged up. They're not.
I'm not buying that. He didn't practice at all this week. If you went into maintenance, you might miss a day or two. Not every. He didn't practice at all. So I'm not buying the maintenance there. And we've heard from Fournette before him say, oh, I'm going to be playing, because he said he's playing on Sunday, and then all of a sudden he's not.
Yeah.
So once again, just pay attention to your inactives at 11:30. But bottom line is, Mike, you have a very strong running back core. But if Fournette starts for Jacksonville, he starts for me.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers, as you said, you're putting him in the lineup over just about everybody. What does that mean for Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, and Randall Cobb and Jamal Williams?
Well, I think as far as the receivers, I'm starting more like I normally would have if Rodgers was healthy. You know, Nelson is not a wide receiver 1; he's a wide receiver 2. But that still makes him a start. I mean, once again, I think we're going to get more difficult wide receiver questions, because you could be extremely strong at wide receiver. You know, well, you don't have to start Nelson here, but you mentioned it earlier on the show. Carolina is not good at covering the outside receivers. Do I expect Rodgers to be rusty? Sure. But, you know, if you want to go by past history, last time he came back off of a long-term injury, it kept him out multiple weeks, he came back strong, did well. It's the small sample sizes. But I don't think he's going to have a 40-point fantasy game. But would it shock me if tomorrow he throws a 280 and 3 touchdowns? Not in the least. You know, I think Aaron Rodgers is that kind of person. He's been throwing for weeks now. I think the chemistry will come back quickly. Jamal Williams could make Aaron Rodgers a better quarterback, because now they have a hot, legitimate running back that teams have to worry about. Jamal Williams is likely a start for me as well, but he does fall down to more of a, you know, in that 16 to 18 range at running backs. But once again, unless you have better, which is hard to believe, I have to start him as well. But obviously, this team could go back to be more of a passing offense now than it was a running one with Brett Hundley.
So there has been a little bit of, as a quick aside here, there's a little bit of a growing sentiment from some people that Aaron Rodgers is back to save the day. They're going to come in, they're going to beat the Panthers, and then the Vikings, and then the Lions, and hopefully they win a couple of tiebreakers and they get in. How do you see this playing out for the Packers the last three games? Forget fantasy for a second. Do you think Rodgers can come in here and sweep these three games?
No.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, the team is still, the defense is terrible. It's terrible. All right, they should have lost to the Browns last week.
They really should have. 100% should have lost that game.
Right. I mean, the Packers didn't win it. The Browns lost that game. They found a way to lose. It was just a joke. Special teams screws up at the end, or else that game's over. If you're a conspiracy theory, it almost seemed like they were trying to make sure they get that number one pick. Yeah. But all right, let's say they win tomorrow. That's no guarantee. You're playing Carolina's a good team.
I know.
There's no guarantee they win tomorrow. If it was in Green Bay, they wouldn't be a guarantee. But in Carolina, I favor the Panthers here. I think the Panthers will probably pull this one out. But let's say they get the win. You got Minnesota next week. I mean, really? Now you're going to beat Minnesota? That's just automatically going to happen? You have at Detroit the last week of the season. Sure, I think they can beat Detroit. But that's in Detroit. And maybe that game means something for Detroit. Where they're not to be laying over like dogs here. So Carolina, Minnesota, Detroit. They need to win out and help. I said, and they need help.
Tons of help.
Yeah.
Tons of help.
All right, well, they can help themselves, though, obviously, tomorrow by beating Carolina, because that's one of the situations they need. There is a scenario, a likely scenario that could happen. They need Carolina to probably lose another game, and maybe the Falcons to lose another game. So that could happen, because the Falcons, I believe, once again, Carolina, Atlanta, New Orleans are all cannibalizing each other. So that's why it could happen. Because if you look at Atlanta, yes, they could get Tampa Bay tomorrow. And then they play New Orleans and Carolina. So you can see what they have to do. Packers need to take care of business. And then I think they need Atlanta to lose one more, which obviously is possible. And I said the question is, do they need Carolina to lose another game outside of tomorrow? That may be where the trickiness comes in. Not that it's impossible, because once again, Carolina's schedule is far from easy also. Carolina has Green Bay tomorrow. And then they play Atlanta the last game of the season. So it's extremely tricky. Unfortunately for Green Bay, Carolina plays Tampa Bay in between. So I don't see them losing to Tampa Bay at home in Week 16.
Yeah, agreed. We'll keep going through it because we got some other injury stuff to talk about. Alvin Kamara, obviously good news. He's clear to play against the Jets. I expect a pretty big game there from Kamara, as you were saying earlier, for Breeze. I think they're going to dice the Jets up. The Jets did a really nice job competing once McCown went down. I think guys are I'm not suggesting that the players are going to mail it in. I just think that this team is going to look kind of listless here down the stretch. You got guys like Mo Wilkerson that don't show up to meetings and were left at home, right? The game is in New Orleans, so he was left at home. He didn't even travel with the team. Now there's talk of the Jets having to trade / release Mo Wilkerson, a guy that they committed a ton of money to just a year ago. Kamara, so that's good news. Let's talk a little bit, because it's really important, about the Nick Foles situation. He obviously comes in. People don't seem too worried because the Philly offense has been really good. No, he's not Carson Wentz, but people feel like Foles can step in here and run this offense pretty efficiently. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm with it all as well. It won't be as dynamic without Wentz. That's crazy to think it will be. Foles has had one good year as a starter. He's a failed starter, but he's a very good backup. I got to tell you, I think he's probably one of the best 32 quarterbacks in the league.
I was just about to ask you
that. He's better than some teams. Right. So he's a backup in Philadelphia, so he's one of the best backups, but he's probably a top 25, 27 quarterback. And with the options around him, you still got Jeffrey, you still got Aguilar, Zach Ertz is back. So I'm a Giant, and let's face it, the Giants are terrible. I'm starting. In one of my semifinals, the former league that way we used to work, 16-team league, I'm starting him over Derek Carr tomorrow. I like the matchup versus the Giants. I like his weapons there. So I'm going with Foles over them. I think he'll have a good, solid game here. I just don't think the offense will be as dynamic as what it used to be.
I'm looking my chops with Zach Ertz tomorrow.
Yeah, he's going to – this is the Giants. We know he's going to score a touchdown, at least one. I think if you're Trey Burton owner, you're probably annoyed. Oh, damn, why didn't Ertz take one more week off?
Well,
but I think my question in this game
Zach Ertz.
is, is this where we see the return or the emergence of Jay Ajayi?
That's a hard one, but I could see it. It's just going to be difficult. It's obviously going to depend on roster construction, but I can see it happening because could they be up with a lead and Ajayi is grinding it out? Does he get some goal line opportunities? I could see that. So interesting one. Let me go down through a few more. Kyle Rudolph was out for the Vikings, for the Bengals. No Vontaze Burfict, no Drake Kirkpatrick against the Vikings. Joe Mixon is in. So
they mailed it in last week.
Yeah, the reason I talk about those defenders is because Latavius Murray could be seeing a little bit of an easier front than normal. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the injuries after the break. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone, we promise. No weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
We're back on the Roto Experts, going down through the last list of injuries, and then in the next hour, we'll turn the page over to the games of the day. But by the way, George, nice to see that Brandon Williams, the Colts tight end that suffered a concussion and was immobilized the other night, it seems like he's going to be on the mend. I do find it, honestly, I don't want to make a big PSA here, but I do find it odd that a guy that was diagnosed with spinal stenosis 6 years ago and was forced to stop playing football in college, is now cleared to play in the NFL, and suffered a very scary injury the other night. I do find that odd, but it looks like he's on the mend.
Yes, actually the injury that ended Michael Irvin's career when they discovered he had it, yes. He retired. So a little bit of a surprise. I mean, listen, we're not doctors. You know, I don't know how is there different degrees of it. You know, obviously he got cleared right by the doctors. They know about it. He's been told the risks. He decides to keep playing. I have no problem with that either. As long as you're informed, you know about it. The good news is that he is okay. It did look like another scary injury. It ended up being it was a concussion, not any chance of paralyzation. So always good to hear. And when as always, we wish the best. This is why, Mike, I got to tell you, when it comes to a football player, you'll rarely hear me complain about how much money they make. Because even guys who don't have suffer these major injuries, their quality of life is changed once they stop playing.
No doubt. I actually went out to dinner last night with an old friend of mine, and he was a former NFLer. He played in the league for almost 10 years, and he's really healthy. Like, he got out of there. He's in better condition than most guys. And he played plenty. He was on special teams and was a tight end and all that good stuff. So, and he got out when he knew. He was like, look, I'm healthy. I got 9 years in. Like, it's time to go. So, and that's a pretty good run, right? Even if it's a player that people don't even know who he is. Like, 9 years is a good run.
Really good run.
Yeah. So, for him to not really have any lingering injuries is a good thing. And to your point, a lot of players just have to deal with a lot more than that after their career is over. So as we go down through it, I mentioned the Vikings thing. I opened that up because I do think that it is going to give more opportunities for Latavius Murray, who's obviously been an increasingly good option as season has worn on.
I'm with you there. I said the Bengals mailed it in last week. They didn't look like they were interested. They lost by 20-plus points to the Chicago Bears.
They're done.
All right.
That team's
done. Yeah, they don't care. You think they're showing up tomorrow in Minnesota?
No way.
No. You start your Vikings tomorrow. I'm annoyed. Right. I'm annoyed that Kyle Rudolph is it was late. Also not going to play. Didn't see this coming here. But yes, just starting. You know, Diggs, Thielen, Murray, absolutely. Case Keenum makes my top 12 as well.
the Bengals weren't good, and they're going to put a stamp on the rest of this year. Their wins this year are the Browns, the Bills, the Colts, the Broncos, and the Browns. Those are their five wins. Those teams are awful.
Does Lewis get fired?
I have heard in a couple of instances that he's going to retire. 15 years.
Same thing.
Zero playoff wins. I think he may retire, which would make things easy on them. But we'll see. I mean, he shouldn't be back, but I think he's going to retire, so they'll do it that way as opposed to pushing him out the door. Houston Texans, DeAndre Hopkins looks like he's good to go. He's been a little bit banged up as we keep going down through it. You mentioned Adrian Peterson earlier in the show. He's on IR. Is that the last of Adrian Peterson?
I think so. He hasn't been very good this year with a couple of teams. Maybe he tries to give it another shot in training camp, but he's not going to be anybody's starter.
Yeah. John Brown out for the Cardinals. Juju Smith-Schuster questionable to play against the Pats. I'd expect him to go, but he's going to have to keep an eye on it. I'm going to keep an eye on it because I'm a Steelers fan. We'll come back. George is going to talk about Giancarlo Stanton for 45 minutes, and I'll talk football. We're back after this.